Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You heard right. Cell phones on the subways, or subway platforms anyway. Are you ready? The MTA has announced an agreement with the company Transit Wireless to wire all subway platforms, but not the tunnels. In other words, not in the trains. Joining me to talk about the details of the deal is MTA spokesperson Paul Fleurange, and we can take your calls. Is this a good thing? It's not like there's peace and quiet on the trains now, is there? Has this been a pleasant experience on city buses where cell phones are allowed? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Of course, there are emergency aspects to this as well as convenience. Give us a call. What do you think? 212-433-9692, or post a comment at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Paul, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. So wiring platforms and or tunnels has been discussed for a while now. Was it last month's floods that flipped you on this?
No. We've been working on this for a while, but it clearly will be part of the report recommendations that the MTA will issue regarding the August 8th flood at 11 o'clock this morning. But New York City Transit and the MTA have been working on and discussing cell phone service in the subway for some time now.
Why not the tunnels? Why the platforms?
Well, tunnels would prove, you know, a serious burden on service in terms of service disruptions to our customers and to our operations with respect to both the initial installation and ongoing maintenance. As you know, if you ride the subway on the weekend, with the work that we're doing as part of our capital improvement program and replacing switches, tracks, rehabilitating stations, and the like, subway service on the weekend is, for want of a better term, pretty messed up as it is. But it's for a positive. The addition of cell phone installations and tunnels and the maintenance would require even more disruptions, not just on the weekends, but if something happens like during the weekday. So we think that the tunnels probably wouldn't be the best thing to do. We think that the stations would offer our customers the ability to keep in contact if they needed to, if there was an emergency in the station. And, you know, let's face it, there are already some places in the subway system where you can use your cell phone. Certain stations, if you're near a grating, if you're near a staircase, Bowling Green right in front of our building here, there are parts of the Bowling Green platform where you can use your cell phone and PDA up to a certain point. So there are places in the system now where you can use your cell phone. We just didn't think it was prudent to do the tunnels at this time.
And, of course, a lot of people listening right now know exactly where those spots are on the platforms near them, just like we know where the doors open on the trains. How soon will any of this happen?
Well, during the initial 2 years after this agreement is finalized and approved by the board, the vendor that was chosen by the selection committee, Transit Wireless, will have 2 years to build up the system at six stations in Manhattan. And that's basically to make sure that, you know, the technology and everything else and the configuration of the stations works. And then in the 4 years between, and then the four following years, they'll have to build it out to the other 271 underground subway stations. So between 2 and, let's say, 6 years, we'll have the entire system wired up.
So I gather the stations to go first are 14th Street on
I'm not going to confirm the times.
The time said, just for our listeners, 6th Avenue, 7th Avenue, and 8th Avenue on the 14th Street stops, 23rd Street and 7th Avenue on the 1, also the 6th Avenue line, 23rd Street, and the L. So it looks like there's a 14th Street nexus there, but you're not going to confirm that.
No, I'm not. Suffice it to say that when the two-year period begins and where the vendor has to install the equipment, it will present them with the both design and technical obstacles that they will face in the entire system. So the stations that we choose will be a representation of the kind of, you know, landscape or topography, if you will, that they will find within the subway. As far as the complexes, you have different mezzanines, you have several layers, several levels. As you know, some mezzanines have 3 levels, some have 2. Then you have just the regular, you know, simple station, if you will, that's just, you know, a standalone station. So the 6 stations that are chosen will be a representation of our system and our network so that they can see the challenges and get a feel for what it will be like at the different stations.
Jennifer in Jersey City likes this idea. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I think it's definitely high time, especially since the "If you see something, say something" campaign. I never understood who you're supposed to say it to if you're on the platform. If they really expect you to leave the platform, go up to street level and tell someone, especially because fewer and fewer stations actually have a person in the booth.
Paul?
Well, each one of our stations has at least one 24-hour station booth. That's the first thing. Second thing is we have different people in stations at different times, whether they be, you know, station agents, customer service agents who are now outside of the booth at formerly part-time locations, cleaner, supervisor. You can tell anybody. If there's no one there, yeah, sure, go upstairs. But surely this will help people in that aspect. It'll also help in emergencies if something happens, if there was a sick customer. Let's think back to the Wesley Autry thing. You know, people could have called their cell phone and gotten help to them, you know, even faster than going to the booth. So it does give people both of those scenarios, both an outlet in both of those scenarios, to call someone if they saw something untoward or call someone if there was an emergency.
Is this, and Jennifer, thanks, is this primarily about safety or about convenience and, you know, giving the customers what they want?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it does provide our customers with something that, you know, a good portion of our customers said that they wanted, which was cell phone service underground. Other systems do provide cell phone service underground. Clearly, we are the largest and probably most complex system because we are a combination of three separate systems that were built with separate designs at separate times. As you know, Brian was just celebrating the 75th anniversary of the IND. Those stations are different in design and construction than the BMT stations, which are different in design and construction than the IRT stations. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's giving our customers a convenience aspect and also the ability in an emergency to contact someone if they feel they need to.
Paul Florange from the MTA with me on WNYC as we talk about the approval of a contract for cell phone service on all the subway platforms.
Well, let me correct you, Ryan. It hasn't been approved. It's going to the board on Monday and Wednesday, and we hope that they will approve it. But we do have an agreement that we are taking to them.
Any potential hurdles?
I don't know. I read where the chairman said he would support it. I think that's a good sign. I think there are members of the board who have been waiting for us to do this. And I think for the most part, given that we are providing it in stations where, you know, most of our customers wait and not on trains, I think most board members will support it, but I can't speak for the board. I don't know that there are any potential hurdles. I think the selection committee did a good job in selecting the vendor or the group of vendors that had the best technical approach and also provided us with the most, financial gain.
212-433-WNYC or post at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. And how do you respond to this listener? And you know a lot of people feel this way. This listener who posted on our comments page, please no cell phone service on the trains. Okay, if you must, platforms only. I ride the bus daily. I am so tired of hearing everyone's telephone conversations. Why is the person on the bus always the one talking and never the one listening?
Well, I ride buses, too. I take a bus to the train and vice versa every day of my commute. I live in a two-fare zone, or what was formerly a two-fare zone, eliminated, of course, with MetroCard discount. So I, quote-unquote, feel their pain. I say the same thing to myself. And when I'm on the train, because I take the number 7 train, which is elevated, you know, we don't have the issue of we don't have access to cell phone service. So I think it's a bit of etiquette. I think people have to practice a bit more cell phone etiquette. The technology is such now where you don't have to scream into the phone. So I perfectly understand where that person's coming from. And I think that's one of the considerations that many board members had, is that they didn't want that problem underground as people were taking the train. But I think that they recognize, however, that having it in stations, and we're just not talking platforms. We're talking, like I said, mezzanines and, you know, near the fare control area. As soon as you, you know, being able to carry the system seamlessly through from ground, from above ground down, will be a positive for most people. And I think, you know, we can avoid that issue of, you know, people with bad cell phone etiquette.
Sounds like you get to work the same way I got into the city when I was growing up as a kid. Take the bus to Flushing and then the number 7 train.
Well, I've lived in that part of Queens all my life, so before I would walk to the 7, now I move, so I have to take a bus. but yes.
Let me ask you about the contract. Transit Wireless is the company, and I gather they will pay for outfitting the platforms and pay the MTA about $47 million over 10 years. But from what I read, the bids fluctuated wildly. There was one bid for $40 over 10 years and another for $6 million. Is there any concern that Transit Wireless is too optimistic with this $46, $47 million bid, too wildly optimistic about how much money they can make, and, you know, at worst there might be another Snapple deal in the making here?
Well, I can't speak to whether or not Transit Wireless is too enthusiastic or has bid out of the ballpark, so to speak. I can say that this is coming at no cost to the MTA and therefore the subway rider, bus rider, taxpayer. The cost for installing this system in our 277 underground subway stations is all on Transit Wireless. They are also covering our costs, what we call our force account costs, meaning the cost that we would help them or provide them with services. They're covering that too. So this is coming at, you know, no cost to us. This is all incumbent upon them. There have been other systems and other transit properties where neutral host providers have done the same thing, and they have made their money. You know, that would be a question more so for Transit Wireless to answer than I do.
Is it true, though, that it was hard for you to get a vendor to do this on account of the complicated nature of the project, you know, just the platforms and not the entire tunnels? It seems to have taken a lot longer than some people originally predicted.
Well, as you put me in a bad position here, Brian, because the procurement process by state law is totally in the procurement department, and people like me on the executive staff and other people don't have input into the procurement process until it's finalized and see the result. So I can't really answer that question for you. I think, though, that, like I said before, given that our system is so complex, there are three separate systems that are combined into what we call now the New York City Transit Subway Network, and that the complexities of those different systems as far as design, as far as layout, present people, vendors, with a real complex situation. We are not uniform like BART is out in San Francisco or like WMATA is in D.C. Those systems are all built to one standard. The New York City subway system, as I said, was three separate systems, one built 100 years ago, one 75 years ago, one about 85 years ago. So that in and of itself presents any vendor with a complex set of environmental factors that they have to consider when they design and when they bid. The people who bid thought they could do it. We looked at the bids that we received, and the selection committee felt that Transit Wireless presented both the best technical approach and also the best monetary compensation for the MTA.
So I know you got to go. Just one thing. I thought maybe since you're doing this, the conductors could now text us the service announcements instead of talking into the garbled PA systems.
Well, I think that you will see over time that, and I don't necessarily believe that all the systems are bad. Some of our old legacy systems do have issues, but as we are installing PACIS on the IRT over the next year and a half at 156 stations, you'll see the quality of announcements improve drastically in stations. I think in our new tech subway cars, the programmable announcements and even the announcements that conductors make to override those are much clearer. As far as text messaging, that'll be something that I believe will be coming out of the 11 o'clock news conference this morning about the flood, that we are looking to do that. So I think, you know, that's another aspect of this. In the future, we will be able to, if you're in the subway, also text you. But I think the MTA is going to announce it later today that as part of our response to the flood, they're going to be looking to develop a system to text people currently who have, you know, cell phones before they even enter the system to alert them to problems on the system, which we do online already at our MTA website. But, you know, this will be another platform that we can reach customers.
Another platform that we can reach customers. And the physical platforms are going to get cell phone service starting now in a couple of years. And we're going to come back to the topic of the 11 o'clock announcements. We'll see what they are by the MTA in response to the August flooding incident. And I want to thank MTA spokesman Paul Florangis for joining us here this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, how New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo may be using securities law and the interests of corporate investors to help fight global warming. Stay with us.